Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks, Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ.
Give Him a hand clap of praise and thanks tonight. Amen. We love You, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. God bless you. Let's stand. It's good to be back in church. This is 51 in your hymn book.
Amen. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin, wonderful name, and there
and shake hands with your neighbor. Greet each one.
You tonight. Want to continue to remember Brother Gabe Eplin and in prayer, not feeling well. Also, Sister Anna Pierce's grandfather's brother named Keith, who has congestive heart failure. And want to continue to remember Brother Barry's family during this time of the loss of their loved ones. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. Brother Trevor, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests and invite the presence of the Lord just to come and be in our midst. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good for us to be here, to gather with the saints, Lord, of like precious faith, to come before you, to sing the songs of Zion, to worship and praise you, to exhort us to give thanks to you, Father. As we heard this morning, Lord, we're so blessed. We're so very blessed by you, even in the what we call the good times and the bad, Lord. But yet we're blessed, Lord, to hear this word, to know this message. Oh, God, as we look out and how many people we come in contact with and they're lost, Lord. They have no idea of the great things that you've done. They have no idea that you are the great I am, that you are the great creator. But Father, somehow, some way, through the grace of Almighty God, our names are found written on the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be taken off of it. And because, Lord, your word has come and saturated our hearts, and it's quickened something within us that we would believe it. How grateful we are, Lord, that you've done these things. Now, Lord, we have a couple that are sick in our midst, and I pray that you would go forth, Lord, and send your power. Lord, quicken their faith to accept the work that you've already done. Lord, we know you're more than able to meet every need that we have in our lives. So, Lord, we submit them to you, to your loving care, Lord. And so now, Lord, we don't have to worry anymore. And now, Lord, we're just free to worship and praise your name and to be happy and joyful in your presence, oh God. So, Lord, we invite your presence into this meeting, Lord. Would you come and inhabit the praises of your people and speak to each heart tonight through the word that goes forth. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Anna Pierce and Sister Leah Leek.
Thank you. sisters and brothers, memories made. Our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray. Stripes that can heal, and a blood that can save. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not We're from a country that's not of this earth. The cross stands for freedom and what it's worth. Forgiveness and mercy, hope for the lost. All have gave some, but He gave it all so we could be.
A shoulder to lean on when I am down, a rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under His wings. He's not just a song, He's the reason I
echoed the sermon this morning really well too. Amen. God bless you. Maybe we can just tell Him that we appreciate Him.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Yes, Heavenly Father,
Let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Yes, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Why don't we stand and sing it? Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Lord, I love you. I adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, it's Jesus I really want to see. Is that how you feel tonight? Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Sing it to him tonight. Just worship him. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Truly blessed, aren't we? Amen. As they sing that song, I have been blessed. Amen. I believe we can echo that with an amen tonight, that we're truly blessed beyond what we deserve. Amen. But thank God for his grace to us.
Amen.
Brother, would you just play that softly as we have a word of prayer tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly it's you that we want to see. We want to see you made manifest in our midst, Lord. Lord, we don't want to see the, Lord, just a personality presented, or, Lord, just an ego or an idea. But, Father, we want to see you made manifest. Lord, we love you. We worship you tonight. We praise you. We give you thanks, Lord. We thank you for your presence that we feel here tonight, Lord. Just ask that you'd come down again tonight, Lord. Make yourself known to us, Lord. And may we just feel your presence again, Lord. Thank you for the presence that we had this morning, the atmosphere in the service, Lord, and the people coming expecting, and the atmosphere of worship. Lord, what a blessed people that we are to be able to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Lord, not that the building is, there's anything holy or righteous about the wood or the carpet or the drywall, not that there's anything holy about the physical earthly bodies that we're in, but Lord, when you come and make yourself known, when there's these licks of fire gathered together, Lord, it creates an atmosphere of heavenly places. Lord, because we're not coming to assemble together just to be seen or heard or just to sit under some person, but Lord, we're coming to be, Lord, let you speak to us. Lord, we're coming to let your presence lead us and guide us. Lord, to get our humanity out of the way, Lord, that the musicians could yield to you, that the song leaders could yield to you, that the ministers, that the deacons, the trustees, the Sunday school teachers, that every lay member, Lord, that we could yield to you to play our part, Lord, in what you've called us to do. Lord, may we come again. May we be a blessing. Lord, may we not only receive a blessing tonight, but may we be a blessing to others. Lord, may we, Lord, if all you called us to do tonight was to lift our hands in worship or to clap our hands and praise you, Lord, let us do it with the best that we've got. Lord, if you called us to sing, Lord, the praises to you, let us do it with all that's within us. Lord, if I sing, let me sing in the Spirit. If I preach, let me preach in the Spirit. If I walk, let me walk in the Spirit. All that I do, Lord, may it be you that does the leading and the guiding. We love you tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. Just as we look into the quotes and scriptures tonight, Lord, may you just anoint me to say something that would encourage somebody. Maybe they're discouraged. Maybe they've had a rough week. But, Lord, may you just bring encouragement by our way. Lift our hearts up, Lord. Remind us just how truly blessed we are. We thank you for these things, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Turn with me, if you would, tonight to Genesis 17. Genesis 17 and verse 1. Abraham has aged fast. When we left him this morning, he was 75 years old. Now he's 99 years old. So he had a long afternoon. Maybe some of you have had days that you felt like that, but Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. My, what a tall order. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. When we left Abraham this morning, 75 years old, God comes to him and he tells him, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing to the nations. I'm going to bless the nations through the seed that's going to come through you. And now here he is, 99 years old, 24 years later that he's waited on this promise. And now God comes and tells him 24 years later, Abram, I'm going to make you exceedingly fruitful. 99 years old. And he tells him, I'm going to make you exceeding fruitful. And not only that, I'm going to keep my covenant with you, and I'm going to change your name. It's not going to be Abram anymore, which meant exalted father, but I'm going to change it from exalted father to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Right. Now, you can imagine when he would go down to the Social Security office that day and say, like, I need to update my driver's license and my Social Security card. Need to add a couple letters. I hope there's room on the card for it. They said, okay, what are you changing it to? I'm changing it from Abram. Well, not really me. God changed it, but I just want to update my credentials to reflect what God's calling me. I'm going to change it from Abram to Abraham. They said, let's see, Abraham. Let me get out my Hebrew concordance here and see what that means. They said, father of a multitude. Goodness. Abraham, we've heard your testimony around town, how that you say you're going to be the father of a nation, but you're just taking it to a whole new level, aren't you? He said, no, I'm not taking it to a whole new level. God is taking it to a whole new level. Amen. No doubt they mocked and made fun of him as he'd go down the street, an old man, 99 years old, and hear his wife, 90 years old, father of a multitude. Abraham, you must have lost your mind. You've been spending too much time out there in the heat, in the tents in Haran there, and now coming down to the plains of Mamre, and you've just been out there in the heat too long, Abraham. But he knew what God had said. He knew what God had promised, and in the face of whatever, they could laugh and make fun, and they could poke, and they could try to find fault, and they could do whatever they wanted to, but Abraham knew what God had said, and he wasn't depending on somebody else's opinion. He wasn't depending on somebody else's attitude. He wasn't depending on whether it was easy or whether it wasn't easy, whether it was sunshine or whether it was clouds or whether it was good days or bad days. He was holding on to a promise that what God said, God was able to perform. Didn't matter how ridiculous it sounded. Didn't matter how much their family doctor laughed at him. Didn't matter how much medical science could laugh and make fun of him. He was depending on what God said. Oh, if we could really, if we're really truly the seed of Abraham like we claim to be, then when we see a promise of God in the scripture, we'll hold on to it with the same vigor that Abraham was able to hold on to it and say, look, it doesn't matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Doesn't matter whether I can scientifically prove it or not. I'm taking God at his word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Really, we should be able to take God at his word even more than Abraham could. How much more Abraham could hear the stories of the flood and how God protected Noah and things like that that had been passed on orally over the years. This one telling this one and that one telling that one. But he didn't have the word that we have today. He didn't have the full Old Testament. All we know of at that time, the book of Job. Job was just kind of around the same time as Abraham. The book of Job may not have even been written, or if it was, he may not have had a copy of it. I don't know, but that would have been about all the Bible that there could have been written in the time of Abraham that he could have to hold on to. Wow. Moses hadn't come and written the majority of the Old Testament. The rest of the minor prophets and things hadn't come and written. And so with the portion of word and the portion of testimony that he has, he's able to accept God for something that had never happened in all of the world, that a man 99 years old and his wife 90, and here they come along a crooked stick, and they go along, and God gives them a promise. I'm going to multiply you and make you a father of multitudes. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. The children that you're going to have is going to be as the sands of the sea. Go out, Abraham. Count the sands on the sea. Can you tell me how many there is? Go out and look at the stars, Abraham. Count the stars and see how many there is. Can you count them all? That's going to be how your seed is going to be. And here he is without even one heir, except just a servant that was working for him by the name of Eliezer. But God said, Eliezer's not going to be your heir, but there's going to be a child that's going to come through your own bowels that's going to be the heir of all that you possess. Oh, my, obtaining a promise and holding on to a promise. And then we've had the Old Testament, the New Testament, all of the church ages. We've had Martin and Luther, and we've had Brother Branham come in this age. We've got all the revivalists, Calvin and Finney and Sankey and Knox and all the ones that Brother Branham talks about, all of the historical writings of what God did down through the ages, how he came. Oh, my, Paul would break into it, Hebrews chapter 11, and he would say that God stopped the mouth of lions. He quenched the fires. Right. He brought them through the floods. He brought them even facing death or whatever. God was able to bring them through and even able to bring life back into their bodies, those that had been given up as dead. God, a miracle working God, raising the dead, healing the sick, for providing for those whose cruse of oil was empty, providing for those that didn't have water to drink in the desert, providing for those that didn't have a way. He made a way. And we're able to look down through all of history and see all of that God did. And if we're not careful, we leave him back in history. Uh-huh. We say, well, I guess that was good for Moses. We sing it, you know, it was good for Brother Branham. It was good for Brother Branham. It was good for Brother Branham. Go ahead and sing the rest part. It's good enough for me.
Amen.
It was good for Paul and Silas. That's great. What about for you? Amen. It was good for this one. It was good in the fiery furnace. Amen. I'm sure they thought it was good when they thought the next step they'd be taking a step right into the jaws of death. And they walked in. They said, "Man, I don't understand. Look at all these other guys falling down that was carrying us up here. Doesn't feel too hot, does it?" Shadrach could look around. Meshach said, "You know what? I remember some of those days back in Judah. It'd get a lot hotter than this in the summer than what we're feeling here." Said, "Feels like somebody's fanning the flames for us a little bit." And they look around and saw a man there. Said, "Looked like the Son of God." And there he stood. Brother Branham said, "I can see him up in heaven." Brother Branham dramatizes it many times, you know. And he said, "I see him up in heaven. There he is. And he's sitting up watching." And he said, one of the angels comes to him and said, "Father, have you seen what's going on down in Babylon tonight?" He said, "Oh, yes. I've been watching. I haven't taken my eyes from him." Oh, and we get scared sometimes. He hasn't taken his eye from you. He knows right what you're going through. He said, "I've been watching him." Gabriel said, "Let me go down and wipe the whole thing off and destroy it." Wormwood came and said, "Let me wipe the whole thing off like we did in the Antediluvian destruction. Just flood the whole thing. We'll put the fire out." He said, "I can't let you go, Gabriel. I can't let you go, Michael. I can't let you go, Wormwood. This is a man-sized job. I'm going down myself." Brother Ram said he reached over and grabbed the zigzag lightning and cracked her. And he said he went down through there on the horizontal rainbow. And he came down through, grabbed him a palm off the tree of life and began to fan the flames. And old King Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and said, "Wait a minute. Now, you know, maybe I may not be the best mathematician in all the world." But he said, "I thought we put 3 men in there." And he said, "But I see a 4th man in the fire."
Amen.
Amen. They're still, I like that song they sing, "He's still in the fire." Amen. He's still in the fire. Oh my, he's in that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive.
Amen.
Amen. He'll bring you through whatever you're going through. He's still in the miracle working business tonight.
Amen.
Oh my.
Hallelujah.
All the examples that we have to look at and then call ourselves the seed of Abraham, and a little sniffle or a little trial or an unexpected bill come up and we're just ready to give up and quit. Oh, seed of Abraham, recognize who you are tonight.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Not only is he going to bless him, but he's going to bless his wife. He said, "I will bless her." Then he says it again. "I'll bless her and she'll be a mother of nations, of kings, of peoples. They'll be from her." Now Sarai rather meant princess. But now he's going to change her name to Sarah, which meant a noble woman. A woman that people could look back, and even in the New Testament, they would talk about how that her stand for Abraham and type her to a virtuous woman, that the wife being that type of a woman could sanctify the unbelieving husband. And what a type that she was there, and how God looked down at her. But yet we find out everything wasn't always perfect in the Abraham and Sarah home.
Right.
God tells Abraham this, and many times we read about Sarah laughing in the tent, but let's read Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." See, Sarah had convinced Abraham that this was too supernatural. That maybe, just maybe, it was possible that God could bring a child through him. But for her, she had enough faith for him, but she didn't have enough faith for herself. It was okay for somebody else. Like Brother Bam talked about the man that got up to preach. He said, "Saints," he said, "I'm going to go, and this week I'm going to go down to the river, and I'm going to walk across the river on a log." And they said, "Go ahead, Pastor, you go right ahead." And then he came back the next week. He said, "I'm going to go across that same log this week." And he said, "I'm going to take a wheelbarrow, and I'm going to push it across the log." They said, "Amen, God's with you, Pastor, go ahead." He came back the next week, and he said, "Now I'm going to go across the log with the wheelbarrow, and I'm going to put you in it." They said, "Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Something about it when it comes. See, many times, you know, don't think that I'm just preaching outwardly this way, because sometimes that comes right down into our own ministries and things too. As us ministers, brothers, it's one thing to stand in a prayer line and cast out demons and cry for God to come and deliver people of depression and cancers and things like that, and actually see God come and do it, not because of us, but because he backs up his word. But it's another thing when it's yourself standing there and it's your own family and it's your own situation, and Satan comes and begins to whisper in your ear, and we get like Elijah if we're not careful. And here he called fire down out of heaven. Here he slayed all the false prophets of Balaam, and then he ran and hid in a cave at the threat of a woman. It was one thing when he was walking in the anointing of God to do something for somebody else, but when it come to his own life, here he runs and hides out in a cave, and he says, God, you know, I've got a zeal for you, but everybody else, they've just given up on you. And God had to remind him, I've got 7,000 more that haven't bowed a knee to Baal. It's one thing when you're standing there in the anointing and you know, other minister brothers praying there with you, and people come up with all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of troubles and distress, and absolutely see God come down and do something, and then you step out of that anointing and you go about your daily business on Monday, and a little something comes up and you think, oh goodness, you get frustrated and upset. Hey, the same God that healed the cancer can take care of the little problem on Monday. The same God that healed the back problem, the same God that can heal hepatitis, the same God that can provide finances for somebody, he can take care of a little problem on Monday. But it was one thing for Sarah to say, now look, Abraham, I believe God spoke to you. I believe that God's going to do that. But she said, look at me. Look at my body. I never have been able to have children. Maybe, Abraham, if you'd had another wife, maybe you'd have been all right. And maybe it's just been me this whole time. But I just don't. And she could have faith in the promise for Abraham. But for herself, she comes up with a substitute. Oh, that's where we get in trouble every time. When we look into God's word and we see God's plan, but because that we think either that we're incapable of fulfilling God's plan, or because we think that we're smarter than God and we have a better way, we come up with a substitute. Well, I know God's word said this, but don't you think intellectually it just makes better sense to do it this way? And don't you think this would be easier? No, if it's contrary to God's word, it'll never be easier. It'll never be better. It'll just cause you trouble after trouble after trouble until you come around and recognize I should have just stayed with God's word all along. And so she convinces him, go into Hagar, and maybe, you know, maybe you misunderstood God. Maybe you'd been swimming that day and you had a little bit of water in your ear and you misunderstood him, and he said that you'd have a child, but maybe he didn't call my name. Maybe, you know, I know he said he'd bless you, but I just don't know if he can bless me like that. So Abraham listens to his wife and he goes in and has this child through Hagar, and it's still causing problems in the family. Amen. There's still a family division between Ishmael and Isaac, and still all kinds of problems in the Middle East because of that. So Abraham comes now, and here he is 100 years old, and God says, oh my, you're going to have a son, and it's going to come through Sarah, and you're going to be the father of many nations, and she's going to be the mother of many nations. And Abraham doesn't do this back in the tent behind him. He literally just falls and laughs right in front of God, said, oh, me, 100 years old, and Sarah, he said, oh Lord, don't you think that Ishmael could just walk before you? Don't you think that'd be a better way? Oh, don't try to convince God of a better way than what he's already told you. Oh, many times some of the young people, I'll just preach to them a little bit, because I was a young person once, you know, not too terribly long ago, closer back than a lot of the rest of you, some of you, but, you know, so I was a young man once too, and you know, as a young man, you would go and you would see somebody at a camp, or you'd see somebody at a church service, and I know none of the rest of you probably had experiences like this, so I'll just preach on myself tonight, okay? And you would see somebody and you think, oh my, if I could just get her email address. We even had email addresses back then. We didn't have smartphones and Facebook and Twitter, but we did have email at that point. And AOL. You know, some of you that was born before 1995 knows what that sound is, you know. Slowest internet connection ever known to man. But You know, if I could just get her email address, if I could just get her phone number, oh my, wouldn't that just be wonderful? And sometimes, it didn't happen exactly like that. And a lot of times what it was, you were looking at, instead of looking for character, like Brother Bama said, you were looking for the prettiest face or the best dressed or the most popular or which one had the nicest car or whatever it was. And so you begin to try to, instead of waiting for God's timing and waiting for, I know the young people don't like to hear people preach like this, but, sometimes God lets other people go ahead and make mistakes and lets you know what to do and what not to do so that you don't have to go and just repeat the same mistakes over and over. And when your parents get up and they talk to you and they try to warn you, they're not doing that because they hate you and they don't want you to have a good time. They're doing that because they made mistakes and they fell on their face and they maybe still have regrets and memories and things, and they're trying to protect you from following in the footsteps that they went off the path and just trying to get you to the footsteps where they was on the path. You know, Paul didn't say, hey, follow me as I stoned Stephen. Follow me as I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow my mistakes. Don't follow my shortcomings. Follow me as I follow Christ. Walk in that pattern. Walk in those footsteps. And so if we're not careful, we begin to try to force God's plan to fit our design instead of forcing our plan to fit His design. Or we try to force our desire, his plan to fit our desire and what we think we'd like to see, instead of stepping back and letting God mold us into what He wants us to be. And so when we go and we try to do something, whether it be a career, whether it be a relationship, whether it be a friendship or whatever it would be, and you're straining and you're trying, Lord, this is what I want, Lord. Oh, Lord, give me this. And you're pushing and you're shoving and you're trying to get a square peg to fit through a round hole and it's just not working. Sometimes we should just take a step back and say, Lord, if this was you, surely you would work things out a little better than this. And maybe I just need to take my hands off of it and take a step back and let you do the work instead of beating my brains out.
Amen.
If we're not careful, we begin to look for the wrong things and it gets us in trouble. And we get this idea that, well, I've got it figured out. I've got a better plan and I know what I'm doing. And it gets us in trouble every time. And then, going down the hill is easy. You start running towards the wrong path, and it's all just downhill and easy, like you're gliding down a big mountain on your bicycle. And my, you can just take your hands off the handlebars and say, oh my, isn't this wonderful? But then when you realize, wait a minute, this was the wrong road, and you got to come back up that hill. Brother Yarborough can testify. He used to mountain bike. It's a lot harder coming back up the hill than it was going down the hill. Our neighborhood and the neighborhoods in between my mom and dad's house, the roads are like this, just up and down and up and down. And I'm not in as good a shape as Brother Yarborough was when he was biking all that. I biked to their house and back one day, and I thought I was going to die. But I found that out, that going downhill, it's no problem. It's easy sailing. But it's when you got to come back up that hill. And remember, Brother Bam told Brother Billy Paul, he said, you're going down this path right here. And he said, but however far you go down this path, he said, you got to come back all the way back that path. And usually coming back the path is a lot harder than going down the path.
Amen.
Amen. So we want what God's desire is. Not, oh, Lord, give me, give me, give me. But, Lord, just what would your plan be for my life? Lord, how would you lead me and how would you guide me? But Abraham and Sarah, they came up with a better plan. And now Abraham says, oh, Lord, don't you think Ishmael could live before you and that he could serve you? And yet we get over into the book of Romans and we get over into the book of Hebrews and hear the scriptures talk about this man, and they don't bring this up. They don't bring that, Paul doesn't get over and say that, Abraham walked by faith except for that one time when he fell down and laughed in God's face, because he wasn't looking at what man saw. He was looking at what God saw. And God was looking at Abraham's heart, and he said, even though Abraham maybe didn't understand at the time, he knew that that Abraham's faith would override his unbelief. His faith would override his misunderstanding of not being able to piece it all together. God never asked us to figure it all out. He never asked us to be able to come and draw a diagram and say, this is going to be my life, and here's me at birth, and it all started with a smack, and then here I'm going to come over here to grade school, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to meet this girl, and I'm going to marry her, and I'm going to be work at this career and this job for this many years, and I'm going to go to this church, and you know, many times, if you're not careful, you lay in bed at night, and you try to figure all that out, and you realize 10 years down the road that you wasted hours and hours and hours trying to figure it all out, because it never winds up the way that you was going to try to make it all happen, because it, not if you're walking in God's plan, at least, because we can't figure God's plan out 40 years in advance. Even Brother Branham said, God doesn't show his prophets everything. He said, sometimes he just lets us go along and walk and step and in faith, and then he'll reveal a little bit more and a little bit more, but God didn't just roll out the plan to Noah and say, here, look, this is how it's going to be, and these are the animals that's going in the ark, and this is how many years you're going to work on it, and this is how many trees you're going to have to cut down. He just gave him the dimensions and said, build an ark. And here he goes, and he labors, and he toils, and he wonders why, as we looked at it last week, why so big a boat, Lord? I've been preaching my heart out, and there's hardly anybody, just me and my wife and family. I don't understand. We're going to have some pretty big rooms, but there were some animals that God had to save as well. So we can't figure it all out. We just obey God's word, and then we get to that point, we realize, oh, that's why, Lord. That's why you had me do this. That's why you led me down this path. Can you imagine, you know, as the bride of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham said that the bride would get to the point where she heard, thus saith the Lord, or she kept still. And I believe as time goes on, and as we grow and mature in the spirit, and as the pressures of life get harder, and we have to be more and more dependent on him, that we'll get to that place, because he said we would. But can you imagine, you know, Brother Branham walked in a life like that. He would get out of bed, and we hear him talk about in Fort Wayne there, as he was getting ready to get up and go to breakfast with his wife and a sister that traveled with him in the meetings there, and he gets ready to go, and he starts walking, and God tells him, go down here and turn this way and turn around this way and go in here and stop in this restaurant. And the lady that was traveling with him said, Brother Branham, not in there. Said, oh goodness, if we ever get back in there, she said, there's not an easy way out of there, and if people realize who you are, we'll never get out of there. He said, but the angel of the Lord told me to go in here. But it doesn't make sense, Brother Branham. But I think this restaurant would be better. But I think you should do this. But I think this would be better. Hey, doesn't matter. The angel of the Lord said to do this. He learned in South Africa, do what the angel of the Lord says, and it'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. No matter what preachers say, no matter what. He even said, even if a prophet comes and tells you something and God came and told you something different, he said, you do what God said. He reminded us of the story of the two prophets, the young prophet and the old prophet, and Kings there, and God speaking to both of them, but yet because the one disobeyed what God told him, he got ate by a lion. I don't know about you. I don't want to get ate by a lion. I want to do what God says. I don't want to have to constantly be saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I guess I'm going to have to go through 5 years of trials because of that mistake. I just want to walk in the Word and keep walking and keep walking. Amen. And so the angel of the Lord tells him, go into this restaurant. And he goes back in there and he sits down and begins to order him some breakfast. And here, lo and behold, 9 o'clock, a little lady walks in. She says, oh, Brother Branham, said, I had a dream last night. Said, the Lord told me in the dream to come to this restaurant and be here at 9 a.m. And she needed prayer. And he goes and he prays for her. And they leave the restaurant. And God tells him, turn, walk down this street and go so many blocks. And he says, stop there. And he stops at this corner. You realize that is, you know, I know some of the things, the gift of the sign of the Son of Man, and some of those things, you know, we weren't called to be that. God didn't call me to reveal the seals. He didn't call me to restore all the word and to reveal the mysteries. He didn't call me to do that. He didn't call me to have the Son of Man ministry. He didn't call me to speak squirrels into existence. Although I believe if I was out somewhere starving, I could speak the word and God would provide somehow. I believe that. But God doesn't just give that to say, you know, hey, look at me, I'm going to do something great. But we find that, you know, God didn't call us to do some of the things that the prophet did in this age. But God did call us to walk with him. And so if he's going to ask you to walk with him, then he's going to lead you and guide you. Now, he may not speak to you in an audible voice like he did, Brother Branham, and say, hey, go to Clifton's cafeteria, go to this cafeteria over here in Fort Wayne, go to this cafeteria over here, do this, do that. He may not speak to you in an audible voice like that. He may not even show you visions, but he can still lead you and guide you. He can lead you by His Word. He can lead you by His Spirit. He can lead you by that still small voice down in your heart. And you know, you can wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what would you have for me today? Where would you have me to go? Lord, who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to call and encourage? I'm going to this destination and GPS says I've got 7 different ways I can go. Which way would be the safest, Lord? You know, I'm sending my children to school. How should I send them? Where should I send them? We can lay out our life before God and say, lead us, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. If we would depend on Him a lot more like that, we would get in a lot less trouble. And he goes into Miller's cafeteria there in Fort Wayne, and he's sitting there, and as I said, the lady comes in, says God gave her a dream, told her to be there at 9 o'clock, and he gets up from his breakfast, and he walks down the street, and he gets a few blocks, and the Lord tells him, stop on this corner. Can you imagine living a life like that? To where God could, Brother Bram said, just the slightest nudge. He said, I want to do what he tells me. Just this last nudge. Usually he's got to drag us and beat us and tell us and you know, sign after sign and wonder after wonder and fleece after fleece. And then finally, okay, Lord, I get the point. But Brother Bram said he wanted to get to the point where just the slightest little nudge from the Holy Spirit, he'd go and do it. And he says, stop here on this corner. And he stops. And he said, there's a lady walking down the street. Looked like a little holiness lady. And he said, oh, that must be her. And he said, she walked on by. And he said, all of a sudden, she just stopped. And she turned around. And she said, Brother Branham? He said, yes. She said, I had a dream last night. Said, the Lord told me to be here at 9:10, that you'd be standing here. And she said, I almost walked by and missed you. And the Lord said, stop. Amen. Hey, he can still lead and guide.
Amen.
He can still lead and guide if we'll let him. Amen. But Abraham and Sarah here, they thought they had a better way. But yet, over in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, Paul begins to speak about this man that fell down and laughed in God's face. He said, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Never did it in the first place, Brother Hoover. Never did it in the first place, Brother Trevor. Hey, man, for us, it wasn't just imputed unto him for righteousness, he said, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So God is looking not at this one moment in time where Abraham, he doesn't fully grasp what God's going to do, and he doesn't fully understand how all the details are going to take place, and he falls down. He says, Lord, me, 100 years old, and my wife, 90 years old, how? Aren't you thankful that God doesn't just throw us away every time we ask how?
Amen. Thank you.
Aren't you thankful that he's looking at that completed product that when we finally get to a spot to where our faith rises up to where our testimony is? Aren't you thankful that he's long-suffering and patient with us, and he gives us a little bit of time to mature because he recognizes that men aren't born men, but they're born babies, and they need to grow a little bit in the spirit? If a little child is born that way, if a little child was born and, 9 hours later, there it is laying there cleaned up and stuff, and you go over and shake it, you say, hey, you bum, why don't you been in here in this world 9 hours? Why don't you get a job? Why don't you do something instead of slacking around here? He's a baby. He doesn't know nothing about a job. He can't even talk yet. He doesn't even have teeth yet. He hasn't had education yet. Right. But then, people come to the Lord and they come to an altar. And then, if they don't have the whole message memorized and know what you know over the last 40 years of studying in about 2 or 3 weeks, we think, come on, man, why don't you get with the program? Men are born babies. Women are born babies. And if it's the same in the natural, it's the same in the spiritual. I thank God that he's more long-suffering with us than people are. I thank God that he's more long-suffering with us than even we ourselves are with ourselves sometimes. Well, yeah, sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I get more frustrated with myself than I do anybody, Brother Wade. I think, why would you do that? Why did you handle that way? Why did you waste that much time? Why? I get frustrated with myself sometimes. But I thank God that he doesn't just give up on me. That he just doesn't say, well, you know, Nathan had another one of those days. I'll just cast him to the side. But I hope that when I get over there, that my obituary can read like Abraham's and Paul's. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. This was a man that murdered Christians conceded to it and put Christians in jail. And Satan beat him up about that his whole entire life, I'm sure. But he comes down to the end of the road and said, hey, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Amen. God was long-suffering with Paul. And at the end of the road, he was able to have grace even for himself. Sometimes that's the hardest one. Is sometimes as Christians, we can have grace for somebody else because we only see them Sunday and Wednesday and, hey, they're pretty well behaved then. But then we deal with ourselves on Monday and on Tuesday and on Thursday and on Friday. And by about Saturday night, the devil has just beat us up to a spot where we think, goodness gracious, what's the use of even going to church tomorrow? I feel like a big hypocrite. And because Satan's there constantly prodding, see, you handled that wrong. You didn't respond to that brother the right way. You was too short with that person. You just botched that completely. Who do you even think you are? And if you listen to that voice, you just go down further and further and further, and before you know it, your joy will be gone and your victory will be gone and your peace will be gone. But if you go back and you look into the Word, and he says, hey, you're an overcomer. You're redeemed. Amen. You're justified. It's though you never did it in the first place. You're saved. You're sanctified. You're cleansed. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, you start going up higher and higher and higher. More joy, more peace, more love, more long-suffering. Oh, it depends on what we feed on. It depends on what voice we listen to.
Amen.
And God said, verse 19, Sarah thy wife... He's making it very plain for him now. This isn't a Hagar substitutionary thing. This isn't an Ishmael substitutionary thing. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. I'm so thankful that God makes things plain for us. To where there's no room for doubt. There's no room for loopholes. God makes it very plain. He sends his word. He sends his prophets. He sends his gifts. He sends his signs and wonders. And he makes it so plain for us that if we would just take an honest look, we would see, you know, even some of the things that people have questioned for years in the scriptures. He sent us a prophet and he gave questions and answers series. And you sit there and you listen and somebody asks a question and maybe you think, oh, I've wondered that my whole life. And there it is right there, 64, 58, whatever year. And here he comes down and somebody asks a question and you say, oh, thank God that person in 58 wrote that question, because I'd been wondering that myself. I thank God that he makes it very plain for us. Genesis 18 verse 1. And the Lord, this word is Jehovah, the existing one. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Verse 2. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord. Now Lot had seen in the destruction of Sodom, he had looked and seen two men coming. And he says, my Lord's. But Abraham looks and sees three coming. And he says, my Lord. What was it? A spiritual revelation of who he was talking to. Amen. Not two lords, not three gods, not three persons. He said, my Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah. Verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Here he had his back turned to the tent. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old. Now here, he's got his back turned to the tent. And she didn't laugh out loud. She just laughed in her heart and said, oh goodness, just like Mary did, how can these things be? How could this be? How is it even scientifically possible? How can this take place? And the angel standing there, God stepped down into a robe of flesh. He stops the conversation and he said, now, Abraham, why did Sarah laugh when I said that? Well, she'd apparently been around the same atmosphere and influence of her husband that he laughed when he had told him something similar a few years before, or a few months before. And she kind of laughs and chuckles to herself in the tent behind him, but he discerns the thoughts of the intents of her heart behind him, and he begins to call it out, and he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? My, we could just stop and preach a series right there. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever you're facing, it's not too hard for him. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever you're facing, people have gone through it, the same spirits, the same trials, the same things for generations back. Brother Bam said, God takes his man, but not his spirit. Satan takes his man, but not his spirit. Oh, it may have a different name. It may have a different form of media that it comes in. It may have a different packaging, but it's still the same old spirits that people have been dealing with for years and years, and the same circumstances and the same trials that even Jesus came and was tempted in like manner in all things so that he could be the right intercessor. So when we go through something and we feel like, oh, nobody's ever gone through what I have. Oh, yes, they have. Oh, yes, they have. Other generations have gone through similar things. Jesus himself faced similar temptations so that he could be the right kind of intercessor for you. And so when you get your back up against a wall and you think, Lord, where can I go? Where can I turn? There's no way over it, around it. Brother Bam said, I love just to see God make a way right through the middle of it. Amen. The Israelites got backed up at the Red Sea and they said, oh goodness, we would have been better just to die in Egypt. Goodness, they're going to come and run us through with swords and run us over with chariots. And Moses stopped the people and he said, hey, be still. As we read the psalm this morning, Brother Layton said, be still and know that I'm God. Reading the psalm there, Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of God. When your back's against a wall and you don't have anywhere to go or nowhere to turn, that's the time to stand still and see God come on the scene. See what God's going to do. See how that he will make a way where it absolutely seems like there is ways, no way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Brother Branham picks this up in the sermon of the same title, Is There Anything Too Hard for the Lord, 1960. He said, let's just break in on her for a minute. There she sat back there, say, I wonder how many fanatics my husband can entertain. And there he's sitting out there, you know, and Abraham just interested, maybe the old fly bush, you know, fanning the flies away, and saying, well, I see the angel take his chair. Maybe leans backward, his back toward the tent. And Sarah listening through the tent, you know, kind of eardropping, you know. And listening through the tent. And she was kind of in an awful mood that morning. He said, you don't see things when you come to church in that kind of a mood. Amen. Well, glory. I love that a prophet of God could break in to this story and tell us what type of day that Sarah was having and how the angel had his chair positioned to the tent and how he kind of leaned his chair back. And here's Sarah listening at the tent door. What are they talking about, Brother Jimmy? What are they saying? Are they talking about me? Or what's going on out there? And he says, she was in an awful mood that day. You don't see things when you come to church in that kind of mood. You just, no need of trying it. You just might as well have stayed home. You won't get nothing out of it. Go home when you come to church, come prayed up, come in the atmosphere, come expecting. Amen. Now, what people have done with this quote is they've used it as an excuse to stay home from church. Well, you know, I'm kind of been in a sour mood all day today, Brother Hoover. You know, me and my husband had an argument this morning. I still haven't forgiven him. I guess I just won't go to church because, brother, the prophet of God said I won't get nothing out of it anyhow. That is not the lesson. Amen. The first part of the paragraph is not the lesson here. Amen. It's not to use as a crutch to stay home because you're going to destroy the service for somebody else and you're not going to get anything out of it. The point of the moral of the story is the last part of the paragraph. When you come to church, come prayed up. Come in the atmosphere. Amen. Come expecting. So don't let Satan drag you down with your old grumpy mood and your arguments and all that and beat you out at church. But make that thing right and get prayed up and come to church and say, I don't care that I've had a lousy day. I'm going to get a blessing anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. Many times we interpret and get the lesson out that we want to get out. Amen. But the lesson isn't stay home because you're mad. The lesson is get glad and get prayed up and come expecting.
Amen.
All right. Spoken word is the original seed, 1962. He said, what? That's grace, see? Right there, God would have slew her right there. But he couldn't. Oh, see our stupidity? He'd kill every one of us, but he can't. To kill Sarah, he had to take Abraham because Sarah was a part of Abraham. They were one in union. Amen. And to take the church and destroy it, he can't do it because it's part of himself. Christ, part of himself, the word being made flesh. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, he says. He said, couldn't do it. You get it? The congregation says amen. He couldn't kill her. He couldn't take her life because she was part of Abraham, see? She was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And our mistakes don't say, well, I made a failure. No, that don't make them. Abraham made failures too, see? But he couldn't take the church. He can't kill the elected. He can't take your life because you're part of himself. You're the Word. The Word is in you. It's manifest itself, proving itself. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And the words of God, you believe every one of them work. And God working through you, see? You're a part of the Word, which is Christ. And we are taught that he is the Word. And we are flesh of his flesh. And bone of his bone. There you are. Sarah to laugh at God's face and then deny it. And him turn around and say, yes, you did. And to discern her heart and her know in her heart what she did. Brother Bram said God would have just killed her for lying to his face and laughing in his face like that. But he couldn't do it because it would have hurt Abraham because she was a part of Abraham. Right. And he had made a covenant with Abraham. How can he slay Sarah when he just told Abraham a few days before, you're going to have a son by Sarah, your wife, and you're going to call his name Isaac, and I'm going to make my covenant, and you're going to be blessed, and she's going to be blessed. But then we'll let the devil come around, and when we make a mistake, even though God's made a covenant with us, even though God said you're blessed, but then we make a mistake and we let the devil come and say, oh, see, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. You couldn't be predestinator. You wouldn't have done that. You couldn't be predestinator. You wouldn't have had that argument. You couldn't be predestinated or you wouldn't have disagreed with that man. You couldn't be predestinated or you wouldn't have got so stressed out that you knocked your fist against the wall. You couldn't be predestinated, this, that, or the other. Hey, it's not me that made me predestinated. It's his covenant. I'm not blessed because of something I did. I'm blessed because he said so. And if he couldn't take Sarah because it would break his own covenant, how can he take you and just cast you aside when you're part of his covenant?
Amen.
Amen. She was part of him and he said, you're part of the Word, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, a manifestation of him down here on earth. We sing that song that we sang it tonight. It's Jesus I really want to see. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to do away. Some people try to so supernaturalize it that they just do away with the physical body for Jesus at all. But I believe we'll see a physical body of Jesus. Amen. I believe that. I believe there's scriptures and quotes to back that up, that we'll see him as he is. We'll have a body like his own glorious body. But, you know, until we take a step into that other dimension, the only Jesus that you're going to see is when I look around and I say, I see him manifested in David Hoover. I see him manifested in David Andes. I see him manifested in Wade Byerly and David Eplin and Jimmy Ard and different ones. The way that we see him is when we see attributes of him here on earth expressing himself, because people have come so surrendered to the Word that they become an attribute of the Word expressed here on earth. And we say, you know what? That brother handled that just exactly in the spirit of Christ. He treated that person just the way that Christ would have treated him. He was long-suffering just the way that Christ was long-suffering. He, instead of, you know, the Bible said that love hides a multitude of sins. Instead of just going out and exposing everybody and saying, hey, you won't believe what this one did, and you won't believe what I saw this one doing, they went to the prayer closet and they prayed for that person. And instead of exposing everything on them and dragging them up before people and embarrassing them, they prayed and bled the blood of Jesus Christ for them. What is it? An attribute of Christ being expressed down here on earth. Amen. But then we let the devil beat us out of that. But like Brother Bam said in the quote this morning, he said, don't let somebody push you off in a corner and give you some cold potato or something and just say, stand over there and wait for something. Now we are the manifested sons of God, right now. Amen. Do something for God now. Get out and encourage somebody. Get out and pray for somebody. Get out and help somebody. Do something for him now. If we claim to be Christians, Brother Branham said that death doesn't change a man. It only changes his dwelling place. And so if your character now wouldn't fit over there, then we're in an awful lot of trouble. We need to go back and be remolded a little bit more. But when we see the desire of our heart, that doesn't mean that you'll never make a mistake. Brother Bam said this flesh is sticky. It's a sticky nature, and it's always going to be sticky until we have a body change. We're always going to be weighed down by this flesh. But when the desire of your heart is, Lord, forgive me. You know, I didn't mean to do that. My desire is to be a help to somebody. My desire is to serve you. My desire is to follow you. And you constantly see somebody where their desire doesn't mean they're perfect, doesn't mean they're sinless. But when you see that their desire is constantly, who can I help? Who can I pray for? Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I encourage? How can I be a part in the church? How can I, if it's just raising my hand and praising the Lord and bringing an atmosphere of worship, what can I do to impact the service? What can I do to help somebody in their walk? What are you seeing? Little glimpses of Christ. Amen. Proving his word, 1965. And remember, Abraham and his group never received one more sign from God until the promised son arrived. How many knows that's true? The congregation says amen. That sign of discernment in the royal seed of Abraham. Let me hear you. Let me tell you. He said, thus saith the Lord. You're receiving your last sign. That's according to the scriptures. The revelation of God that's in my heart that speaks that this is the truth. Again, sirs, we would see Jesus, 1961. Just remember, thus saith the Lord. You will never in any no more Gentile church age ever see any sign to succeed this go greater. This is the last sign to the church. Here, the Son of Man ministry, Elohim, turns his back to the tent and discerns the thoughts and the intents of this woman's heart. And it was the last sign. He didn't come down and keep visiting Abraham every day and saying, Abraham, let me coach you along a little bit. Let me help you a little bit. But he said, about the time of life, 9 months later, a little baby is born. And they call him Isaac because it meant laughter. He brought laughter into their home. And God doesn't keep coming back every few days and visiting Abraham and saying, Abraham, you still believe? Abraham, you need me to perform the sign again? You need me to tell you what Sarah's thinking in the tent again? He didn't do it. He'd come and he'd perform the sign. And Brother Abraham said that was the last sign that they received before the change. And he said, this sign that we were receiving of the Son of Man ministry, a prophet of God in this age, yielding himself so much to the Holy Spirit that he could turn his back and say, this one over here has this, and this one over here is from this city and this state, and this is what their doctor looks like, and this is what was on their chart. It was the last sign that they would receive before change. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. I'm looking for more to be revealed. I'm looking for more to be restored. Then you need to go back and read Revelations 10:7 and see what this ministry was about in this age.
Amen.
Amen. It's already been restored. It's already been revealed. Brother Bram said, go back in the church age book. He said Malachi 4 was to do two things. One was to reveal all the mysteries. And the other was to turn the hearts of the children back to the hearts of their fathers. He said, that's what those seven mysterious thunders were. He said, it's those that literally turn our hearts back to the fathers. Again, be not afraid, it is I. 1961. Remember, thus saith the Holy Spirit, this is your last sign. Write it in your Bible. And if something rises besides this and greater than this, call me a false prophet. He said, that's quite a statement. I watch what I say. I'm in contact with better than 10 million people around the world, see? So I have to say that, and I know I didn't say that myself. If he didn't say it himself, who was it that was speaking through him?
Right.
He says it again, but it wasn't so from the beginning, 1961. Remember, let me tell you, thus saith the Spirit of God that's on me. This is the last sign to the Gentile church before the rapture. Thus saith the Word of God, thus saith the Holy Spirit that speaks, that knows the secrets of the heart. Thus saith the Lord, you are receiving your last call. Call me fanatic if you wish to and blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Oh, goodness. Come now if you're not ready to meet him in the rapture. I challenge, I ask, I persuade, I beg. Come now. Amen. Let's bow our heads if the musicians would come. What an age that we live in. The things that we've seen, We don't just have a scripture or a quote, tape after tape, night after night. This sign being fulfilled before the people, discerning the thoughts of the hearts, telling them what was wrong with them, telling them what the need was, and then not only discerning it, but the Holy Spirit coming down and backing up His Word and healing the people. Yes. I've heard brothers pick things apart and say, well, he said this over here and he said that over there. I like what Brother Luke Gibson said. He said, go back on both of those tapes where you think there's a discrepancy. And he said, at the end of the prayer line, when the Holy Spirit came, was the thoughts of the and intents of the hearts discerned, and were the people healed? He said, yes. Oh my, I think I'd leave it alone then. If God thought enough of him to come and vindicate him and back up his word just because of some intellectual conception, somebody doesn't see something and thinks it's a contradiction. Oh my, God came and backed it up. God came and backed it up. Amen. I wonder how many would slip up your hands tonight as Brother Branham urged and begged and pleaded, expressing to us that this was the last sign. I'm not waiting for some great fantastic coming off in the future somewhere of something more to be revealed or some super duper something. He said, this is the greatest thing. If anything greater arises than this, call me a false prophet. I don't know about you. I'm not willing to call him a false prophet. Because I think I've got something figured out or can explain something away? Absolutely not. He said, this is your last sign before the change. What are you looking for, Brother Nathan? I'm looking for a body change. I'm looking for a step one day to take a step and be changed into another dimension. Amen. If you're not ready, or even if you are ready and you just say, Lord, I want to make sure tonight that I'm ready. I want to lay aside every weight, every sin, anything that would so easily beset me. I want to make sure tonight that I'm ready for that body change, that I'm ready for that rapture. Why don't you slip up your hand, my hand's up too tonight, all over the building. Lord, we want to be ready. Lord, we see so much coming in and Satan attacking on every side, trying to distract us, trying to upset us. But Lord, just as an angel came in the days of Abraham and visited his little family there and gave a sign that would build Abraham's faith to recognize who he was that he was talking to, a sign that would build Abraham's faith to recognize that he who had given the promise was more than able to perform. Lord, we've received that same sign in this age. Oh Lord, so many fail to recognize what you did, and they're still looking and reaching and grasping and trying to figure it out and waiting for more to unfold. Lord, what greater could we have than this sign that we've received in this age? The last sign your prophet said, not him, but he said, thus saith the Lord, over and over and over again. Oh Lord, help us to recognize what took place. Lord, that it wasn't just some make-believe or just some circumstance, but Lord, you were warning your people. You were sending a sign to get ready because a change was coming. The promised son was coming. The prophet said there wasn't one more sign received until they took a body change, until they received a promised son. Oh, we love you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to lay aside everything. Lord, help us not to get caught up with distractions that would hinder us and hold us back. But Lord, help us to continually just yield more and more and more of our life to you. We love you, Jesus. Lord, help us to recognize, as Abraham did there on the plains of Mamre, that we've received a visitation in this age to restore our hearts back and get us ready. Lord, I want to be ready tonight. I don't want there to be something between me and you, Lord. I don't want there to be something that would hinder a rapture. I don't want something that would hinder my faith, Lord, if there's a need. Lord, I don't want to wait till there's an emergency to get prayed up. Lord, I want to be prayed up every day, every hour. I want to be ready, Lord, for whatever you would send our way. Lord, we want to be in a condition, Lord, where, Lord, we could receive whatever you have for us. We love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Thank you for your word, how it encourages us, how it strengthens us, Lord. Lord, may we quickly just lay aside anything that would prevent, anything that would upset, anything that would distract us from you. And help us to run with everything that's within us to the foot of the cross, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, we love you tonight, Lord. If there's any, Lord, that aren't ready, Lord, we don't know when our own personal rapture will be, that maybe we'll walk out and get struck by a bus. Maybe we'll take a change into a theophany that way. Maybe we'll take a heart attack. Maybe we'll die in a car wreck. Maybe, Lord, we don't know how it'll be. Maybe diseases will riddle our body. Lord, we don't know what it'll be. We don't know how long you'll tarry. All we know is one day we have to face you, Lord. Help us to be ready. Help us to be watching. Help us to be waiting. Help us to keep our lamps trimmed. Oh, Lord, if there's any that aren't ready, may they make preparations tonight. Lord, may they not leave the building tonight until they're sure, Lord, that they know where they're standing with you, Father. We love you tonight, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these reminders in your word, Lord, to strengthen us, encourage us, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing this together. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. Oh, I do not know just why He looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need. Why don't we stand and worship him tonight? Oh, I shall. Why don't we sing it to him again tonight? Just worship him. Oh, I shall
deserve the glory and the honor. Oh Lord, we lift our hands to worship. Oh Lord, we magnify your name. Lord, you deserve the glory.
Serve a great God.
Yes, you are great. Lord, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
House of the Lord. I like when Brother Nathan said that means be glad. That was good. Where he was talking about getting the meaning of that quote. So let's sing this tonight.
Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gate. Made me glad.
you. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will. He has made me glad. He has made me glad.